Kia ora koutou, you're on the panel, RNZ National, Wallace Chapman here, Moata Tamaira and Phil O'Reilly joining me today. First up, the government has announced a $6 million package to bolster protections for small businesses following the recent spate of burglaries and ram raids. The Police Minister, Portal Williams, says police will assess security risks small retailers face and whether protections should be installed, such as bollards, security screens and alarms.
It is expected that an estimated 500 premises will likely qualify. Most will be spread across wider Auckland, but others in Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch and other centres.
A similar approach is taken to support the installation of fog cannons in 1,000 stores to prevent robberies. The money will come from the proceeds of Crime Fund, which is paid for via assets and money seized from criminals. For a source on this, we're joined by Sandringham Business Association Chair, Jitin Chidibomba. Jitin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Wallace. How are you today?
Good to have you on again. Your precinct, your suburb, has been hit hard by ram raids, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I believe we went into details of the ram raids, the theft, the knife point robberies and all of that, and how it's really shocked the business community and the, Sandringham community. It's quite shocking, yeah.
So you've got together and all the business owners are putting in a small fee to sort of help with their own security. But to this announcement today, will this make much of a difference?
Any sort of funding is greatly appreciated and we do welcome it. But I think it is too little too late, and we have labour shortage right now. We have shortage in building materials right now. And just saying, hey, $6 million, 500 odd businesses will qualify, but who is going to install them? How long is it going to take? And what are we going to do about ram raids that are going to happen tonight, tomorrow, and the day after?
Okay, so you're talking urgent stuff. You need pace. You need stuff to happen not next month, but in the next 24 hours.
Exactly, because that's where we are at. We are in the next 24 hours. We're having ram raids as of every single night and robberies and break-ins, not just even in the business community, but in wider communities. So what are we going to do about that? Because crime as a whole, serious crime as a whole, has increased a lot. And it is a threat to our way of life as New Zealanders, because we are not used to a lot of serious crime now, are we? I mean, our New Zealand police do not carry guns, and we're really proud of it, because we as a society are a safe, a sensible society. And I think that's under great threat right now.
Oh, we've got a panel with us, as you know, Jitin, and I just want to say to you, come back on an actual fact, crime over time has, youth crime has plummeted. Actually, we acknowledge there has been a spike in crime, for example, these ram raids. So I guess it doesn't help you to put it into perspective there when, you're seeing this and your association people, they experience it day in, day out, day in. But what else do you want to hear from the government?
We would like to hear what are the consequences of these people that are committing these crimes, as to the serious, policy changes. Maybe like, okay, we don't want repeat offenders. We don't want same people, because that's what we've noticed in the last 6 months. Same sort of people coming back, same methodology. So that's what's really concerning, is that why is that they're repeat offenders, and how can we sort of get away from that sort of repeat offending?
Okay. All right. Moata, let's bring you in.
I just wonder, Jitin, do you feel that the business owners are getting support in terms of mental health when they're, you know, because being a victim of a violent crime or even a burglary is actually quite traumatic. Do you feel that there's enough support there for business owners? I mean, particularly like, if you only work in a shop, it's fine. Maybe you don't go into work the next day. But for business, you know, if it's your own business, you kind of have to keep putting yourself in that same environment where a very unpleasant thing happened to you. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's very interesting you say that, because I met with Andy along with Matthew from RNZ today, and we could feel that he was stressed, and that's exactly what we were chatting about this afternoon, because he's still sleeping in the shop because he's really concerned about his business, and he's also working in the shop in the mornings, taking deliveries, talking to people, and we could clearly see that he was a bit jumpy, you know, like that he's not getting enough rest. And it's a very interesting point. And then we walked down the road to Sandringham Superette, and Kshitij there, he's working, and he's got plywood doors, you know, after the ram raid, because he's still waiting for his insurance to come through to help him fix the damage. And he's quite stressed out as well. So, yes, these are the after effects that we really don't discuss. Definitely there is a huge impact on their way of life. And I'm guaranteed, I mean, I'm not a doctor and I can't speak to their mental health, but I can, as a friend, you know, when I interact with them, I can tell that they are under stress.
Gosh. Phil.
This is I feel such sympathy for these shopkeepers and business owners, because often they're hardly wealthy people. They're working day and night and not exactly having a flash life about it either. They're great servants for our communities, and I just think it 500 stores. Well, the Ram Raiders will just go to the next one, won't they? I mean, that's pathetic. And it seems to me, and I'm interested in thoughts on this, it seems to me actually the real solution here was something that was buried a bit in the press release that the government put out about, you need to go talk to the communities. You need to make sure that the parents and the caregivers and the supporters and the friends of these young people doing this stuff are engaged. Putting more barriers up is just not going to solve it, surely. I mean, surely you've got to spend a lot more time talking to communities, talking to parents, talking to these young people, and seeing if you can't solve it there, I would have thought. I mean, that's a bit more long-term, but putting up bollards is hardly going to be the long-term answer, because not only will they just go to the next store, but it also says to customers, this is a bit of a dangerous place. You know, you shouldn't go to the shop because, you know, there's bollards up. So it just seems to me to be a very ambulance at the bottom of the cliff solution here.
It's a very, very good point, Phil. I think buried in the headline was that there is that acknowledgement and there is cross-agency support there, and they're going to be undertaking a broader program focusing on the causes, because that must also be acknowledged. But Jitin, do you want to respond to Phil there?
I 100% agree with Phil. Putting barriers is like, you know, hit it harder a few more times and you'll get in. And what's the point, really? We shouldn't be putting barriers. We shouldn't be that's not a good way of living in a society where you have to constantly think about protecting yourself or your property. So the long-term solution is to ask ourselves, why is this happening in our communities, in our societies, and address that problem in that. And that's where I think the government has, in my opinion, got it wrong.
Jitin, thank you for being on the panel.
Thank you.
That is the Sandringham Business Associate and Chair, Jitin Chittibomba, responding to the government announcement just today, $6 million package to bolster protections for small businesses. 26 past four, the panel, Moata Tomaira and Phil O'Reilly with me this afternoon. Wolf whistling, harmless or a criminal offence? An advisor in the UK's Home Office is understood to be pushing to make wolf whistling a crime. And in France, men who wolf whistle at women could face fines of up to $1,200 NZ if caught with the law intended to ensure that women are not afraid to be outside. While some say it should be taken as flattery, Many women argue that it's a form of sexual harassment that makes them feel objectified and unsafe. But is banning it the answer? Round the panel on this, Muwata, what's your thoughts on this?
When I initially read this, I thought, can you really make a law telling people they can't whistle? That seems, you know, like, I'm not in favour of it. People shouldn't do it. I was like, would you make a law for that? And then I started to think, and I was like, well, we have laws for all sorts of things. You can't look at your phone when you're driving. You can't jaywalk within like 20 metres of a controlled crossing. Littering. If you smash a bottle on the ground, you may be fined not in excess of $7,500. So I feel like wolf whistling might be equivalent to smashing a bottle. You know, I initially was like, I'm not sure, but now yes. I'm thinking maybe.
Okay, it's almost a yes there. I mean, is criminalising it the answer to the issue?
Do you want me to say something about that one?
Well, Muwata first, then Phil.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, I mean, all of those examples that I gave, jaywalking, looking at your phone, people do them, don't they?
Yeah.
Even though it's against the law. So, you know, you've got to consider whether or not policing it is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's not a compliment. It makes you feel unsafe. It's really just a man's way of going, ooh, lady, I've noticed you. I don't want to be noticed. Just leave me alone.
Just keep your thoughts to yourself. Phil?
Well, that sort of behavior is certainly not harmless. That's a very old-fashioned thing. Is it? Oh, it's harmless. You know, it's just a whistle. No, it's not. No, it's insulting and it's potentially threatening unless it's very clearly welcomed. And, of course, the nature of whistling is it's you can't know whether it's welcomed or not. So it's just a douchebag kind of thing to do. Now, so the question that you'd have to ask yourself is it worth passing a law about? In other words, will it be capable of being enforced in the right way? And the examples raised there about smashing bottles and jaywalking, yes, those two things are technically illegal. Please tell me the last time anybody in New Zealand got arrested for them, because it happens every day and everybody knows it's wrong, but it happens all the time.
So you're saying just another unenforceable
is education here.
Right.
Wolf
whistling destroyed me as a young woman and girl. I felt so unsafe and scared, it made me cover up jackets in the heat. Someone says here, wolf whistling is sexual harassment. So needless to say, Muwata, when this happens, it really affects people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just another way of, you know, you're not feeling safe in public. You know, I've been wolf whistled. I've had horrible, rude things yelled at me. And, you know, I'm not doing anything except just walking along the street, minding my own business. And I remember seeing, there was a Twitter thread a few years ago, and it was basically somebody said, women, respond to this. What would you do? How would your life be different if all men had a curfew of 9 p.m.? And the responses were like, amazing. I could go out and I could walk to my friend's house, or I could go to a movie. I could, you know, I could move freely in the world without having to be so concerned about my own personal safety. And it really does constrain women in ways that I don't think a lot of people really realise.
Yeah, no, kia ora, Muwata, thank you for that, because you'll appreciate that a lot of people are supporting it, but a lot of people are saying, oh, for God's sake, what next? Where does this nonsense end? Can we not think of education, someone says, and instead of wolfing and say, excuse me, you've got a nice dress, or something like that? Muwata.
Well, it's the problem is the kind of person who's going to notice my nice dress and want to tell me about it is not the kind of person who's going to try and wolf whistle at me. Those are completely different people.
Yeah.
And the person who's wolf whistling at you isn't really, it's not about your dress. It's what's inside the dress.
So just mind your own business.